Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on December 21st. It's the winter solstice. Probably it's already going dark in your house. It's only 10:30 in the morning here in Maine. But, it is going to be a short day today, but it's an important day, okay? And it's cool stuff. Now, after today, it starts getting lighter again. It won't seem that way for a while, but it is actually true, okay? So it's almost spring. Only another... Well, I won't get into that. All right, so happy holidays. I'll start off with that right off the bat. Okay, Christmas is coming just a couple of days down the pike, and Jews are celebrating Hanukkah. We got New Year's coming up. We are not going to be back after this show until January 4th, so I want to wish you all a happy holiday season, Kwanzaa, etc., whatever holidays you are celebrating. Just enjoy them and enjoy them well. We have a show today. It's a hard topic to do, but it's an important one, especially this time of year, and especially on what I would say is the darkest day of the year, okay, the solstice day. All right, we've got Ann Brown, who's the president and CEO. She's an old friend of ours, okay? She used to work over at Waterford Institute, dear friends of ours, and now she works as the president and CEO of the Cook Center for Human Connection, and they are experts in suicide prevention. And they have all of the tools and resources that you as a school, as a teacher, as a counselor, can tap into, okay? And it's a very serious subject, but it is that time of year. I'm glad we're doing this show today, and Ann will be with us in about a minute. I just want to say, please, everybody, go over, join our equity consortium over at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. It's free to pre-K-12 educators and anybody involved in education. You'll see our magazine over there, which is called Equity in Access. It's an online journal. All our podcasts are now archived over there. It's really a great website, and we do care about equity. We're trying to create a place where the industry, where all educators can work together for equity. Everybody has a lot of resources. Let's find that place and put it all together, okay, and make things happen. And we're going to talk about that today with Ann. So without further ado, I'm going to ask you again, ace-ed.org. Go over, join with us, see what we're doing over there. And hello, my good friend, Ann Brown. Ann, where are you?
Oh, I'm here.
Good. There you are.
Hi, Larry.
I couldn't,
Hi, Larry.
I'm looking.
Happy
I see
holidays.
Your line is on. Yeah, and I couldn't figure out what's going on. Good morning, Ann. Good morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning, and good morning, winter solstice. I'm so glad we're here. It's it's such a hopeful time to know that it's always going to become more and more light every day.
It is. It is Christmas time, and you know, I'm serious. This is that time of year when people get depressed, let's be honest, okay? Especially
That's
with
true.
COVID going on, all right? And what you guys do all year round, and you're such a wonderful person. I don't know how you keep a smile on your face, because I guess because you know you're doing good, but it's all about suicide prevention. I want everybody to take a look at what Ann does over at Cook Center. I had cookcenter.org. That'll take me there, right? Cookcenter.org?
Yep, that's it. Cookcenter.org, yes.
For some reason, it popped up as Cook Center for humanconnection.org, but
and
you don't need
correct.
All that. Yeah, that's correct,
right.
too. But cookcenter.org
yep.
will also get you over there, and you do great work over there. And, I'll ask you the simple question. What's it like dealing with suicide prevention every day? There's a good one.
You know, honestly, Larry, it was something I was really concerned about.
I don't blame you.
Personally, I was very concerned about. I've spent my career, as you know, in literacy and and ed tech and teaching in the classroom, and I had to do a little soul searching. And I was doing that soul searching. I thought of a little girl at 3 years old who was walking in the dead of night with her family to go from her home to an aunt's house because they were fleeing a father that had bipolar and alcoholism issues.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a pretty difficult picture. And I flashed to that the minute this opportunity was presented to me. and also realized that little girl was me. And
wow.
I had a lot of strikes.
I had that feeling, but I wasn't going to ask that actual question.
Yeah.
So thank you for saying that and
But I had a lot of strikes against me that could have taken me down a suicide path, and I've never. Luckily, you know, for me personally, that's never been an area that I needed to that I was concerned with personally. But I've known the issues of mental health and how that affects your entire life.
Sure.
You know, even when it's people around you. And I thought, I have this wonderful, wonderful, rich experience of working in schools and helping and understanding nonprofit and
yeah.
understanding the power of change, right? Having worked for Waterford for so long. And so when this opportunity presented itself, I just thought, you know, it had to be there. And what was interesting about it too, Larry, is, you know, sometimes a cause finds you without you even knowing. Last year I was at the Excellence in Education Summit and listened in on Dr. Jonathan Haidt, who wrote a beautiful book called The Coddling of the American Mind. And he really talked about some of the issues going on with suicide in the world.
Yeah.
And he also talked about it on the social dilemma. But for instance, from 1999 to 2009, things like self-harm and suicide were pretty stable. But from 2010 forward, self-harm in girls 15 to 19 is up 62%. Listen to this number. Self-harm in children 10 to 14 years old is up 189%.
When you say self-harm, let's define that. Does that just mean poking yourself with a pin? It can be anything?
It does. It means a lot of times it's affiliated with cutting.
Yeah.
And it's the idea that, and self-harm is one of the biggest predictors of later suicide attempts. But it's
wow.
The idea
that
they can't feel anything, and so this is something that they can feel. It's something they can control. It's a very difficult situation. But you take those numbers beyond self-harm and listen to this. For older girls in that same time period, for 15 to 19-year-old girls, suicide is up 70%.
Yeah.
And for those young girls, 10 years old, for those young girls, 10 to 14 years old, it's up 151% from 2011 forward.
With the percentage is one thing. I hate to ask this question. What kind of numbers are we talking about? The literal numbers.
So,
do you know offhand? I mean, of course, the percentages are obvious and incredibly important.
Right.
We want those to go down.
So we're
but
talking
I'm just
about,
curious, what do those numbers mean, that percentages mean?
We're talking about losing about 7,000 children a year to suicide.
Oh, God. Hey.
And
hard to believe.
And that's between 10 and 24. And in the nation, it's the second leading cause of death. In Utah, where I live, it's the first leading cause of death for someone who's 10 to 24 years old.
Really?
I mean, So you
ask
me, how do I deal with it every day? How I deal with it every day is just knowing that I'm trying to do something to make it better. And
do Utahns know this? I mean, that's a terrible statistic from one of my favorite states.
They do. And here's what else is interesting, Larry. This is something I just learned last week. We're right dead center in what the nation calls the suicide belt. So if you look at the top 10 states in the country, within those top 10 that suicide is a big issue, it's Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, South Dakota. I mean, it literally just surrounds Utah. And they think there's some geographic. Yeah, they think
well,
there's some geographic.
I was just going to say, you're talking about the most beautiful states in the country.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to everybody else. I live in Maine, obviously, but that's not my point. My point is when you think of the Great West, you think of you don't think of that. Let me put it that way.
Right,
you don't think of that. You think of a beautiful place to live. You know?
And it is a beautiful place to live. I mean, honestly, I was surprised by these numbers. I didn't.
Wow.
I mean, I've learned this since I've dug into this, and it's and there's, you know, there's a ruralness to it, right? It's access to mental health support.
Yeah.
There is they believe there's something to do with elevation and all of that. Those are all high elevation places. But you know, the darkness, we talked about the dark. You know, anyway, so it's a
wow.
very interesting topic, and it needs a lot of attention. But I'll tell you the key thing that got me into this is the people who I work for, who are our benefactors, are named Greg and Julie Cook. And Greg was one of the founders of doTERRA Essential Oils. And if you don't know what those are, they are fantastic. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what they were until I got involved in this. But they're just such a wonderful tool to help with everything from, you know, from mood to aches and pains to, you know, just, I don't know, just everything. But what happened with them is they got to a point in their life and in their career where they could give. And so they gave a very large gift, $10 million, to Primary Children's Medical Center. At the time, it was the largest single gift ever given to the medical center. And when they went to, or when they gave the gift, the people said, well, where would you like your donation to go? And they said, well, we're just giving the donation. Please put it in the most difficult place to fund. And Primary Children's came back and said, the most difficult place to fund is behavioral health.
Wow.
So here we are in a state with suicide being the first leading cause of death for young people, and the most difficult place to get funding in a new hospital was behavioral health. And so literally they found their cause. And then from there they found me, which was awesome, which was awesome for me.
I'm glad they did. They found the right person. When they say behavioral health, are they talking more for children, or are they talking the whole gamut, 0 to 80, 90, whatever?
So in this case, behavioral health is for children because this donation was to a children's hospital.
Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting thing because we had to deal with the health of one of our kids at a children's hospital. And they told us then, okay, that the hardest part of any healthcare system to fund are children's places, pediatrics, et cetera, because the families who are involved are young families. They don't have the money. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But the easiest to fund is cardiology because that's a bunch of old farts like me. Okay, so you know, they save my life.
Yeah.
I give them $100,000 or something. I'm not doing that, by the way, but I could, theoretically. Okay, you know what I mean?
And it's
interesting.
Even in pediatrics, it's easier to fund pediatric cancer or pediatric heart or pediatric trauma. I mean, there were about nine places that they could have chosen where their donation went.
Went to behavioral.
And the hardest to fund was behavioral, yeah.
Well, that's because you can't see it. That's because you can't see it, so why give to it? It's unbelievable.
So beyond that.
I get the mentality. Wow, God bless them. That's good, man. They're good people.
That's right. So beyond that, they said, you know, part of having me be at the helm of this is my connection to schools. And they said, how do we help schools? How do we help this age group more globally than just the children who are in hospitals? And you know, we feel like the way to do that is by providing free resources to schools.
Well.
And so,
well,
I mean, these are really
here you are.
People, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
And so here we
here,
are.
Here you
so.
Are. And, you know, obviously the schools hit everybody and see everybody. So, you know, but the question is, what are the resources necessary? Is it a literal human being? Is it more counselors? And I'm not being funny here when I say this. Is it more brochures about prevention? I mean, what are the resources that will help?
Well,
and are helping.
Larry, probably all of those things in a certain way. And as you know, our mission is human connection. It's the, you know, Cook Center for Human Connection is the whole name. And so, you know, but one of the real expertise that I bring to this is that I really understand the power of technology in schools and how technology can feel personalized.
Yes, you do.
And so... So what we've created is it's called www.parentguidance.org. And what Parent Guidance is, it's a free website, provides therapists giving courses to parents so that parents can understand how to help their child. So one of the biggest protective factors for children who are struggling with mental health and suicide ideation and suicide attempts is having that one caring adult in their life. And while we know that parents love their children, we also know that most parents have not had child psychology and child development, and those even, you know, there's no license. You don't have to have any license to become a parent, right? So we've created a place where parents can get free support to understand their child. Everything from understanding depression and anxiety to understanding how to manage screen time with your children to just overall parenting with a purpose, you know, addressing the tough stuff, just, you know, my child's talking about suicide, what can I do to help? And we've engaged some of the leading clinical researchers on these topics from around the nation to run these courses. So everyone who's running a course is a licensed marriage and family counselor or therapist. They are social workers. We've even got some psychiatrist MDs on the site.
Cool.
Because here's what happens when a child is struggling with mental health and a parent realizes it, they start trying to get help. And they might get a hold of somebody, but they might be 6 and 12 weeks before they can get help. We even have therapists now who are saying, well, we've got people on the wait list. Can they use this resource? You know, so we've even got therapists assigning out this resource because they know they can't get to everyone who needs their help. And
yeah,
so this
and they,
is a
they
way
need it quick.
That they can. They need
yeah,
it quick.
They,
and
they,
so parentguidance.org.
They need it quick.
It is
parentguidance.org. You know, I have to ask you, and again, this is interesting, you know, parentguidance.org, but the kids are in school. You guys at Cook Center recognize the power of the school in that environment, all right? So let me throw it a different way. What can an educator, I won't say a teacher, an educator, okay, or someone in the school, what would they be looking for that would say to them, uh-oh? Okay, and there's probably about 10 billion things, but what would be the most obvious things that a kid is crying out for help or contemplating suicide without crying out for help? This scary stuff.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of indicators towards suicide with children. You know, it can be changing friend groups. It can be giving away cherished objects. It can be a marked change in behavior, even if it's, they could be going from, you know, a happy kid to a super sad kid, or they could be going from a super sad kid to a happy kid. It could be.
Oh, really?
It could. Yeah.
Wow.
It could be.
Scary.
The important thing is there's another wonderful free resource out there that schools should offer to parents. It's not through us, but it's called QPR. It stands for Question, Persuade, and Respond. And it teaches people within about an hour how to identify the signs of suicide and
how
to get someone to the help that they need. Yeah, it's questioning. It's not being afraid to ask the question, have you thought about taking your life? And then persuading them to get help. And if we can't persuade them to get help, then to get the resources to them instead of taking them to the resources. So that's Question, Persuade, Respond. But
and is that QPR.org, did you say? QPR.org?
I think so, yeah, QPR.org.
Yeah, okay.
But what I was going to say in that is so within this, one of the it's not a QPR-certified course, but some of the QPR leaders, are their courses are within parent guidance. So like we have a course in parent guidance to help parents identify signs of suicide so that they know how to look for the signs, and then and not just identify the signs, but what are the steps they should take to help their child. And then you ask what schools can do. So we're working with schools so that we want every school in the country to have a parent guidance medallion on their website, so that parents have a place that they can just click right in and get to this resource. And so when schools want to bring parent guidance to them, we'll do a free parent night for the school. So we bring in one of the therapists who's on the site, and
anywhere?
The parents can.
We're talking outside
anywhere.
Of Utah. Anywhere. Yeah.
Well, we're talking Zoom. But,
I forgot. Pardon me. You're right. Of course.
I know, and you know,
sorry.
Mary, I love
sorry.
A good trip. So I would love to be going to all these.
Zoom.
All these
I forgot
places.
About. Yeah, I forgot where we were, which is actually going to be one of my next questions. Okay, but I forgot nobody's going anywhere anyway. How stupid of me. Okay, certainly not getting together for a big parents' night at the school. Forgive me, everybody. I forgot. Okay. Well, let me ask that question.
You know
then.
What? When we get back into it, I'd love to be doing parent nights across the country.
I think
you
will be.
I
think you will be.
It's
amazing.
Services. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Zoom. I forgot about that. Okay, I can't believe I forgot about that. COVID. All right. Now, suicide's bad enough all the time, and but now, man, everybody's on their own. Some people can take it a lot easier than others. You know, it's hard for kids, especially the age groups you're talking about. They're social.
Yeah.
Okay. They're growing. It's all that. But what are you seeing during COVID? Okay, and I'm sure schools are aware that the challenges are growing, but what are you literally at the Cook Center seeing or hearing or whatever?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things. One thing, Dr. Greg Hudnell, who's the head of Hope Squads, has said to me on a number of occasions, he says, you know, by the time a kid is 11 or 12 years old, their friend group is more important to them emotionally than their parents and their family. And so being isolated from that has been difficult. But I have also read some studies, this is sort of hopeful, that during COVID, while parents were spending, while the family unit was spending more time together, they actually saw a reduction in suicide attempts because of that, right? So that was good.
Wow.
But then we've had some horrific stories. I mean, the story out of California a couple of, two or three weeks ago, where a boy took his life in the room next door with his, you know, while he was in class. I mean, it's just,
oh my Lord,
children are hurting. He and his sister were at home doing online school, and his sister heard the shot. Luckily, he was off camera.
God.
Yeah.
How old was his kid?
Anyway, I mean,
How old?
I want to say he was under 13, 12 or 13.
Oh my God.
And so kids are hurting. So whether we are in COVID or not in COVID, this is an issue. And it's, I think what COVID has showed us is the protective factors that we know work really do work, right? Having that one caring adult in your life, you know, really can make a difference. And what we're hoping to do with parentguidance.org is help those parents have the tools to handle the tough stuff with their kids. You know, I'm just looking here at the first three courses. The first course is how parents can prevent suicide. The second one is how digital media is changing our children's mental health. Third one is protecting our children by staying aware and involved. The fourth one, parenting with a purpose. Even for a parent, you know, feeling overwhelmed, take this guided meditation from Jenna Ramirsma, who's a family therapist out of Atlanta. I mean, just really, really amazing resources in something that I don't know that anyone has put together this comprehensive of parenting support package for mental health ever, and then to be able to offer it free to families and free to schools,
wonderful.
And we just want to get it out there. It's a gift. It's a gift to me in my life personally to be able to offer this kind of a service in this way.
Who do you see as the point, and you know schools, who do you see as the point person in a school?
You know, I always feel like the point person on something like this is going to be a superintendent, believe it or not, because, obviously they have mental health people and counselors that work for them, but this is going to sound, you know, a principal might one or two of these experiences in their lives. I have yet to talk to a superintendent who hasn't said, yeah, I've lost five or six kids to suicide over their career. So I think they have that global feel of how big this problem really is. As a matter of fact, Hope Squad is another one of our partner programs. Dr. Greg Hudnell talks about how in his career as an assistant superintendent, he had lost four children to suicide, and he just said that's enough, and that's how he started Hope Squad.
Yeah.
He just said so I feel like it's a top leadership problem, and they can bring the solution in.
It probably is a top leadership challenge. I'm going to call it a problem.
Challenge.
Call it a challenge.
Yeah,
we'll go from there. I have a question also, and I wrote this down earlier. Is there a racial disparity or anything like that? And I'm going to say, you know, like Native Americans, Indigenous people, Latino, African American, whatever the case may be, urban, rural, I don't know. But where's the break? And you said gender. You brought up young girls before, and it seems to me that's obviously greater than young men. Okay.
Well, yes and no, it is. But
I don't know.
To the ethnic or racial question, Native Americans are the largest group.
I had a feeling.
The second group are African American students.
Jeez.
Interestingly, girls attempt more than boys attempt. Boys use more lethal means, and so they die by suicide more often than girls.
Wow.
So for every child who attempts, there's about six. For every child who dies by suicide, there's about six who attempt. So we talked earlier about 6,500 kids nationwide every year. So that means that about 36,000, 37,000 are attempting. And then you can twofold that to children who are self-harming. I mean, again, and what's interesting too is, you know, I'm a tech person, right? So I don't want to blame this on social media by any means, but there is a real correlation to social media.
There is a correlation. There has to be. There has to be.
If you're in education and you haven't seen The Social Dilemma and listened to what Jonathan Haidt on The Social Dilemma is saying, everyone should, you know.
On Netflix, everybody.
Have a chance to see that. Yep, on Netflix.
The Social Dilemma. It's really frightening. It's really frightening. And the problem, of course, is that maybe in 1980, you thought about suicide, but that could pass because there weren't others who were backing you up. Okay, but now with social media, it's the same thing with hate groups and all that. You can find other people too easily who can lead you astray. Okay, it's that simple, and that's basically the challenge. And social media works that way. Okay, it's really quite frightening, and it's happening too fast to control. And I'm surprised African American kids after Native American kids, huh? Wow.
Yeah. And not to say, I mean, all of the groups are struggling, but those are always sort of singled out as the ones struggling.
And, you know, there's
most.
Another factor, and I want to go one step below suicide. You know, that's like the worst thing, all right? It really is, but there must be a lot of people who don't do suicide, kids, okay, but are really having troubles. And how does the Cook Center work with, if they do, with those kids, you know, these kids that are not going to commit suicide but are really having real problems out there? I don't even know what those problems are, but you can only imagine.
Oh, I mean, yeah, anxiety, depression, OCD. I mean, relationship issues, parenting issues, grief and loss issues. I mean, yeah. So, you know, we've talked a lot about suicide on this, but parent guidance is for all of those things, you know. Anxiety.
ParentGuidance.org.
Self-worth. Yeah, ParentGuidance.org. All of these courses are there, and as a matter of fact, we are not suicide intervention, right? That's not who ParentGuidance.org is. We are suicide prevention, and prevention happens years before a child gets to that. So we are really working to help prevent children ever getting to that point of desperation. Because the thing is, especially with children, here's a couple of other interesting things. Children, most of them don't want to die. They just want their pain to end. They're not trying to take their life. Some of them don't even understand the ramifications of what they're doing. There's a story about a young boy who broke up with his girlfriend on Thursday. This is a relationship issue. Broke up with his girlfriend on Thursday, hatched a plan to commit suicide on Friday so that his girlfriend would get back with him on Monday.
So his girlfriend could get back to him.
Take him back.
He's going to commit suicide Friday so he can get back with his girlfriend. Okay. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah. And it's because the teenage mind is not developed rationally at the same level that an adult mind is, right? So they don't necessarily see the flaw in that plan. And so that goes back to, the closeness and being connected to your kids. And then that goes back to parent guidance, which is about, protecting your child by staying aware and involved and parenting with a purpose, understanding what attachment is, helping kids with food issues, yo-yo food cycles for girls, things like that. I mean, there are, there's probably 60 or 70 courses in here that are covering not just suicide prevention, but everything that we're doing is about suicide prevention, but years ahead.
It's amazing. Like you said it a minute ago. Yeah, you can't wait. Suicide's the end of the road, if I may. Okay, you got to get on the highway a lot sooner than that. All right, and I think that's the point we're making here. Parentguidance.org, and teachers need to be aware of this. Hey, a lot of teachers are parents. That's quite obvious right off the bat. But I don't mean it that way. I mean for your students. Okay.
Yeah.
And especially if I may, if you're dealing with Native American children or African American children. Okay, obviously not all. It's not a stereotype, but those are where the greater numbers are. So you have to be well aware of. A rural area too. It's just terrible.
If you're in a rural area where there aren't resources readily available, that's another huge indicator. Two things that happen in rural areas. There's often more firearms in rural areas.
Yep.
So the means are there, and then also they often don't have the same number of supports. But even if you live in Salt Lake City, Utah, or Park City, Utah, where there's the supply
resources are there.
Demand the demand well outstrips the supply of mental health resources.
Okay.
So this is one in your home, quiet time in your car, listening to a course. I mean, you can just. This is a way that you as a parent can help yourself better understand your children.
Scary stuff, Ann, but I know they got the right person running this thing, and it's just going to get better. We'll do more together. I got to tell you, it's scary. It really is.
It is.
So you're doing quite the job, my dear. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Well,
I appreciate it. Thank
you for having us on.
Oh, anytime. You know that. And in light of all this, you have a happy holiday.
You too.
Thank you. I will.
Looking forward to some great family time and.
It's minimal this year. It's minimal
this
year. Yeah, it's minimal. Yeah. We just had 2 feet of snow the other day in that crazy storm.
Oh, good for you. Well, we don't in Utah. We wish we had. Oh, I shouldn't say that for our tourism industry, but we don't have enough. We need more.
Nobody's coming anyway. What can I tell you? It's COVID time, remember? Oh, my God. We'll all get through it. Okay. And, Brown, thanks a million. I love having you on. Okay. You're good friends.
Thanks,
take care and a good holiday. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Cookcenter.org, everybody. Parentguidance.org. Check it all out. Okay. Important stuff. What can I tell you? Got to nip it in the bud. All right, we'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Happy holidays. Be safe. All right, and we'll see you in the new year. Thanks for listening.